So God, I pray that you take these words and you make them yours, because Jesus, we are here to hear from you. So speak to our hearts this morning. It's in your name that we pray, amen. 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 Well, good morning to all of you here. Thank you so much for being here. And good morning if you're watching online. My name is Annie Duncan, and I'm the executive pastor here. And this morning, you get to hear from me and Isabel Neza, who some of you may know. Isabel, stand up. Let them get a good look at you. Woo! Isabel is on staff, and she works primarily with New Hope Revival. And we've had so much fun preparing this sermon to tag team with you this morning. So it's going to be fun. A number of years ago, my husband and I, we had two of our nephews over for an overnight, and we love doing this. We love like having them over, treating them to their favorite foods, sugaring them up, and then sending them back home to their parents, you know? True uncle and auntie were their favorites. Well, my nephews, Cooper and Jack, they were really excited to play Xbox with Uncle Victor. And they have this like race car game that they play at home, and they're not very good at it. But for some reason, at Uncle Victor's house, they were so good. Like, they were playing the games of their lives. They've never been in first place before when they play at home, but when they were playing at Uncle Victor's house, they were playing really, really well. And check out this 20-second clip that I've got for you.
Go, Jack! No, Jack, you can't use that. Only this.
Yeah!
You are so awesome, Jack. Go get it, Chicky.
Yeah. Oh, go, go!
Okay, you have no idea why I'm showing you this clip, but I promise you in about 17 minutes, you'll understand why I'm showing you that. One of my favorite parts wasn't in that clip, but as Jack was first playing, Cooper was like, oh my gosh, Jack, you're really good at this. And then it happened where he's like jumping up and down and you're so awesome, Jack. Anyway, you're gonna understand why I'm showing you that in about 17 minutes, 16 minutes now. We're in the middle of a sermon series called All In, figuring out what it means to be all in followers of Jesus. And every week so far in 2020, we have been looking at this. We've been unpacking, what does it mean? What's it mean to be all in? All-in followers of Jesus, they are called to promote unity, right, amongst each other. All-in followers of Jesus, they are to be in their word and looking at the character of God. They are to be fervent in prayer. They are to be bringing peace, right? And they're to be sharing with each other this amazing story, the amazing gospel of Jesus. They're to evangelize, right? So this week, our focus is on our fruitfulness. How fruitful are we in being all-in? Our fruitfulness. That's kind of a hard word to say. But what's all this getting at? Like, what's the purpose of being all in for Jesus anyway? Well, the purpose of following Jesus is to be a disciple and to make a disciple. So how do we know if we're doing that, right? How do we know if we're being disciples? And how do we know if we're making disciples? Well, in the scripture that Michaela just read, Jesus gives us the answer in John 15. He says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. How do we know if we're following Jesus and being disciples and making disciples? If we bear fruit, if we produce much fruit. So ask yourself, where am I fruitful? Where do I want to be fruitful? Or where maybe am I not fruitful at all? And y'all, I've been a Christian my entire life, but I've maybe been a follower of Jesus, like, half my life. And how many of you know that there's a difference, right? There's a difference. Christian is a word that Christians made up, and we see it first referenced in the book of Acts. Jesus never used the word Christian. He talked about disciples. He said, you are to be my disciples. You are to follow me, and then you're to go and make disciples, right? Jesus never used the word Christian. He only used the word disciples. And I didn't understand what it truly meant to follow Jesus until I was in about high school. And that was a shift for me. That was when I went from being a fan of Jesus to being a follower of Jesus. What's the difference between a fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus? Well, Pastor Mike Todd, who's a pastor of Transformation Church, he says this, fans like fruit, followers bear fruit. fans of Jesus, they like fruit. Oh, I like that song, or oh, I like that scripture. You know, Jeremiah 29:11. I like that scripture, that's so good. Oh, I like it. I like this verse, but I don't like those verses, but I do like those verses. I like Jesus, I like the ethics that Christianity promotes. I like the people there. I like a lot of things. Fans like fruit, right? Followers bear fruit. So followers, they like all those things that fans like, except they're actually trying to transform their lives because of it. They're trying to look at Jesus and shape their lives and have their lives changed because of who Jesus is, right? And it's in being a follower of Jesus that we actually bear fruit. So what's all this mean, to bear fruit? Like, you don't know what that means? You don't talk about that at Microsoft or Amazon, like, Jenny, I'm gonna really need you to bear some fruit in quarter one this year. You don't talk about that? Sorry, we got some Christian language that we gotta, it's kind of a bit of a hurdle, right? But to bear fruit simply means that we carry fruit, that we're showing fruit. And in Galatians 5:22-23, it talks about this. What's the fruit look like? It says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we display fruit in our lives, like the fruits of the Spirit, the world gets to see just a little bit more of who this Jesus guy is all about, right? And in John 13, so right before John 15, in John 13, Jesus says this, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And love is a fruit of the Spirit. So Jesus could have also said, your joy for one another will prove to the world you're my disciples. Or your peace among each other will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Y'all, this is a part of Jesus' plan. It's a part of his plan. Because Jesus wants us to know that he wants the world to know what he's all about. So he needs us to bear fruit in our lives. So people are like, wait a second, what's that all about, right? When we extend love to those that maybe don't deserve it, or when we extend forgiveness and reconciliation to people that aren't expecting it, that's when people are like, wait a second. And they're seeing the fruit in our lives. So ask yourselves, like, are we doing this right now? As Christians, as followers of Jesus, as all-in people, are we doing this right now? When people come around us, are they able to taste and see that God is good? Or do they taste and see something else, right? So here's two things that we need to know about bearing fruit. And the first is this. We can't bear fruit apart from Jesus. And that's good news, because Jesus calls us to live a life that we can't live apart from him. We can't. And he says this in John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus calls himself the true vine. But why does he call himself that? Well, because there's a lot of things that we can be attached to in our lives, right? How many of you all know that there are imitation vines out there? There are things that maybe we're tempted to be attached to, but if we attach ourselves to them, the fruit that we produce is plastic. It's fake. It doesn't taste good. It's not satisfying, right? That's why Jesus calls himself the true vine. Because he knows we're going to be tempted to attach ourselves to other things like social media or spending too much or alcohol or addictions, right? Those things are tempting, but it's plastic fake fruit that we're going to produce, right? Which is why he's so fervent about saying, hey, remain in me. Attach yourself to me. So we can't bear fruit apart from Jesus. That's the first thing. Second thing, we don't make fruit, we bear fruit. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't make fruit. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, bear fruit. Y'all, we don't make fruit. We are fruit bearers, not fruit creators, right? It's not about us producing the fruit. It's about us simply remaining attached to the true vine, remaining and abiding in Jesus, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit produces the fruit, and we just bear it. And we see that reiterated in Galatians, what we just read. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. doesn't say Annie produces this kind of fruit in her life. It says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in all of our lives. So your homework is not to go home and think, oh man, I got one more thing to add to my to-do list. I got to go figure out how to make fruit. Nope, that's not your homework. Your homework is to abide in Jesus, to remain attached to the true vine, to point out maybe where those imitation vines are and to break free of them. Be like, nope, I don't want to attach to that anymore, right? We can't bear fruit apart from Jesus. We don't make fruit, we bear fruit. Then what are we to do? Like, where's a good place to start? It's right there in John 15:4, remain in me as I also remain in you. Remaining and abiding in Jesus, it's not a passive activity. You don't just kick off your shoes and be like, peace, I'm abiding. I mean, sometimes maybe that's what it looks like, but it's active, right? It's active. Actively understanding that I'm gonna attach myself to who Jesus is. Abiding isn't transactional either. Like, you don't just read a psalm in the morning, check it off your to-do list, and then never think about that again. But it's starting your morning out by understanding, okay, today, Jesus, I give you today. I just read some scripture about you, and I'm gonna be thinking about it the rest of the day, right? I'm gonna be in a meeting, and maybe I get frustrated in that meeting, and then I'm gonna remember the scripture I read that morning and be like, oh my gosh, I can remain attached to you, Jesus, and you can help me through this, right? Have you ever been in a meeting where you've been frustrated? I have. Lots of them, right? You know who you are. I need to stick to my notes. That's not in my notes. So maybe some of us are thinking like, okay, I think I've got the abiding thing down. I think I know what it means to attach myself to Jesus. And I think I've got some fruit, but how do I get more fruit? John 15 has an answer for that as well. It says in verse 2, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. Pruned? We have to get pruned? Yeah, pruning is biblical. That's okay. God prunes and takes things away from us because we need to bear fruit. Because how many of you know, like, we've got a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot that we're doing. And God takes the lots of things that we're doing and he prunes them back. He thins them out so that we can produce even better fruit, right? And while pruning is biblical, like, it's biblical, we see it right there in scripture, it can often hurt. It can be painful, right? How many of you have ever gone through a difficult season where you experienced loss and hurt, but you come out the other side and were able to see, oh man, I grew a lot in that. That's bearing fruit. Difficult seasons, they're not always punishment. Sometimes they're pruning. God pruning us, right? So God, he wants us to bear fruit. He wants you to bear fruit in your life. And he's gonna be the one that's gonna help to prune us. He will walk with us the entire time. And because to bear fruit, we can't do that apart from Jesus, so we need to remain attached to the vine, right? We just bear the fruit. The Holy Spirit produces it. So Isabel, come on up here and talk to us a little bit about what this looks like in your life. Oh, Mike.
Oh, my goodness. I keep having this issue with the mic. Last time I was in the sanctuary, I grabbed the wrong mic, and that wasn't fun at all. So, a little taller. So just like Annie mentioned in her story, growing up in the church or in a Christian household, and maybe some of you here grew the same way, that was my case too. So my family was Christian and I was around church a lot. So I heard sermon like this many, many times that as a disciple, you need to bear fruit. And I will go out, like after hearing the message, I will go out. I will so passionate to bear those fruits, really on fire to go and do what they taught me. But somehow I couldn't be able to do it. Somehow I would fail. It wouldn't work out the way I wanted it to work out. So, for example, if if that day they taught me that a disciple needs to go there and talk about Jesus to someone who doesn't know Jesus, I'll be so passionate about it. I will go write names of people that I think need to hear that, pray for them, and even take a Father's tape to go and talk to them. And something will happen. Like, I'll go, maybe I have a meeting with somebody that I need to share Jesus with. And suddenly this thought will come into my mind. Like, are you sure about this, Isabel? You know, you really want to do this? What if this person doesn't hear you? Or what if you sound so judgmental? All this negative thought in my head. And I will just decide to not do it. Or I will plan to maybe tell another person to speak to that person. And I know you guys are so spiritual. You know, you never find yourself in that situation. Good for you. But if there is one person in here who can relate to that story, man, I'm glad you're here today, because you will enjoy the rest of the story. So, as I start reflecting on why am I not bearing those fruit? I want that, you know. I want to bear those fruit. I want to do what God wants me to do as a disciple. But why it doesn't not happen, you know, the way I want it? I realized that my focus was on bearing fruit, on the doing part, rather than becoming one. My focus was on going to speak to that person about Jesus, check the box, and leave it, you know. Rather than focusing on God, who has that capacity to make me a disciple so that I can bear fruit easily. In the passage that Annie read, in John 15, verse 5, it says, "Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing. That was my problem. I didn't realize that apart from him, I couldn't do anything. See, my problem wasn't that I didn't hear enough scripture or enough messages that can make me want to go and bear those fruits. My problem wasn't that I wasn't passionate enough to go do what God wanted me to do. My problem was I haven't got to a point that I realized that apart from him, I couldn't do nothing. And when I realized that, I switched my focus. Instead of focusing on me checking the box, bearing those fruit, instead of panicking with that, I was like, I need to fix my eyes on God. I want him. My heart had wanted him. My heart had wanted just to be what he wanted me to be. Searching him, wanting to know him, wanting to know him more. And I realized that there is a transformation that happens in us when we choose to do that, when we choose to focus, we choose to take our eyes and focus it on God. First, we get to know him more. We get to understand his character, his motives, what breaks his heart, because it's a relationship. Second, this Jesus thing, this Christianity, it doesn't be only a Sunday thing, but it becomes our everyday life. Because the more we are searching for him, the more we think of him at work, in our families, with our friends, it becomes our everyday life. Third, we got to find our identity in him. And that was the best part of me. You got to know who you are in him, that nothing can shake you. Because the more you know him, the more you search for him, the more you find who you are in him. And that, it defines you. That becomes your identity. I came to a conclusion that if you knowing who we are and whose we are, that play a big role in us bearing fruit in the kingdom. See, you may be asking, how did that work for you after switching? I'm going to take the same example. I still hear the sermon today that I need to go to talk about Jesus to someone who doesn't know him, I still go and write names of the people that I think. I still pray for those people. I still go to talk to them. But something else happened that never happened before. Instead of me focusing on, I have to make sure that I talk to this person about Jesus and leave, I seek the Father's heart. I seek God's heart and study asking him questions. God, what does this person represent to you? What does this person mean to you? Tell me. Because I'm seeking his heart. And most of the time I hear the word that this person is worth dying for. That's how much I love him. Tell me what excuse else I can get when I hear that. I can go, will I go and just check the box, or I will go and search for that person and tell him how much he's loved. And all the negative thought about what if. Yes, let's say it happened when I go after that person. But who cares? Because I know who I am. Because the more I found God, I don't define myself by what other people think of me, but rather than what God defined me as a daughter, as a disciple. So Bell Press, as we are keeping hearing this sermon series about how to go be a disciples, as we are trying to go take Jesus' love and healing where we live, work, and play and learn, I pray that our hearts won't be just content with going and doing, but focusing our eyes on the Father, because he will define who we are. He will make us brave. He will make us free. And from there, we'll get to know who we are. And guess what? Bearing fruit will come so naturally to us. May God bless you.
I'm a little bit shorter. Thank you, Isabel. I love that story so much because it is such a great tie-in to John 15. Before, Isabel was trying to produce the fruit on her own, thinking, I got to go do what pastor's telling me to do. I got to go do what this sermon says. And then she switched her focus to just remaining attached to Jesus. And then the fruit, she was bearing the fruit, right? Because she wasn't having to produce the fruit on her own. And the more we remain connected to Jesus, the more we're going to carry that fruit for the world to see, right? And Jesus, he doesn't just give us the desire to bear fruit, but he also gives us the power to bear fruit. And we have access to supernatural power, and then we bear this supernatural fruit, right? So I'll finish with this. Remember the video from before? How can you forget it? They're so cute, right? Well, in case you didn't see it, you know, just recapping. So my two nephews, they were playing this game that they're awful at, but when they're playing it at Uncle Victor's house, they're so good at it, right? So what's the deal? How come they were playing so well? Well, the controller that they were playing with was turned off. My husband, who was off screen, was playing the entire time. Oh, Cooper and Jack love coming to Uncle Victor's house. Something magical happens, right? But y'all, like, this is the best metaphor because the Holy Spirit is off screen for us the entire time. It's not up to us to produce fruit. The Holy Spirit produces fruit. We just bear it. And you know what happens when we do that? We end up being like my nephews and we're jumping up and down. We're like, we didn't even know this was possible. I'm doing things I didn't even think could happen, right? That is what we are called to do. We just remain attached to Jesus. That's the game we're gonna play, and it's fun. Because when we see this fruit being like in our lives, we're like, oh, that so wasn't me, but I'm so glad that you saw that love because that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit, right? But this is good news. So hear these words from Jesus again. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus, we thank you that that is good news, that apart from you, we can't do anything. So God, keep us connected to you. And like Isabel, make us brave, God, because we know that, that courage comes from you. That courage to speak to our friends about who you are, that courage to bear fruit in our lives, that comes from you. So God, help us to remember that as we go from here. And Jesus, we've seen many things in the news this week. So God, protect your people, God, and help us to be a community together. And everything that we're seeing about the Congo, God, we pray for your peace, for God, your comfort to just overwhelm that community, God, that is being impacted so harshly. God, we know that you are the King. You sit on the throne. We thank you that you are worthy to be praised. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.